But we are going to do another study. So you can go to Proverbs 1. So this title of this study is Listen, Young People. And so this is going to be a study of Proverbs 1 to 9. And that title of the series title essentially just comes from the repeated calls to hear and to give attention that happen, particularly in those first nine chapters. So that's what we're going to start. Let me see. Okay, here we are. Proverbs chapter 1. Okay. Pretty good. So, when I was growing up, back in the 1900s, one of the things I loved was basketball. Loved playing basketball. And I played and practiced all the time. I would, you know, find neighbor kids and get up a game, you know, whatever it took. Practice, played all the time. If nobody was available, I'd practice alone. And I would go through various drills and things that I'd learned, practice shooting from different spots, and sometimes I'd get things out there to give me an obstacle or something, you know, to maybe dribble around and take a shot or something. But one of the things I also would do is that I would imagine myself to be in a game. Of course, I'm out here alone, but I'd imagine myself to be in a game. And so I'd go through different scenarios of real-life game situations. And usually, a lot of them revolve sort of game-winning scenarios, end-of-game game-winning scenarios. So I'm going to take a shot at the buzzer, maybe going to bounce a ball off something to mimic a pass or something, and whatever it was. One of them that I would do also is that I would imagine that we're down by one, there's no time left on the clock, and I'm going to the line for a 1-1. And pressure, you know, championship on the line. So I'd try to, in my mind, work up that pressure and practice those kind of situations. When I was younger than that, I pretty much did the same thing with baseball. You know, catching some fly out to win the game or hitting a walk-off homer or something. In other ways, as a kid, I would play imaginatively. You know, I might be the knight that's in the armor and slaying the dragon. Might be the detective that's, you know, solving the case. Maybe a spy that's gathering some sort of intel to win the war. So when we use our imaginations like that, and especially when we were as kids playing, we always imagine ourselves to be the heroes, to be the stars of the scenarios, whatever it is. We're the center of attention and the center of attraction. And we'd put ourselves in some imagined scenario, and our play then would basically be acting out what we would do to come out successfully in this scenario. Maybe we're having to defuse a bomb with an egg timer or something. You know, any of these kind of things would work, especially if you like to watch MacGyver. I remember the first time when I was in high school and I took a tour of a vocational school. And so we go by one place and they tell us, you know, well, this is the cosmetology part, whatever they called it. And you look in there and it looked like a salon. Of course, I'd been to the salon, hated to have to go to the salon and wait on my mom to get her hair done. I had to do that sometimes as a little kid. But anyway, it looked like a salon in there, and there'd be these girls in there, and they've got these little mannequin heads, and they're doing things to the hair on these mannequin heads. And we went to another part, which was where they had their electrical school, and you look in there, and they'd have like little pieces of building. So you'd like have a wall corner and a ceiling or something, and so they would be running wires and hooking up switches and lights and all that kind of stuff. You go to the auto body part, and they got a bunch of junk cars, you know, in there, and just various car parts, and they're working on them and doing things with them. I haven't been to one in quite a long time. I sort of, as I was thinking about this, I began to wonder. I wonder if the CPR classes today, if they have smart dummies. Think about that. All right. So what I'm saying is that's not all that different. I mean, we're kids, we imagine these scenarios and what we would do in these situations, and we sort of play that out. And as we get older, we're maybe learning skills or learning a trade or whatever it is, and we're sort of going through these scenarios, you know, and learning, being trained. And the book of Proverbs actually does something similar to that. And gives us sort of a vocational school for life. Now, Proverbs is a book about wisdom, obviously. And biblically speaking, wisdom is basically skill for living well. It really is what wisdom is all about. Now, the way that Proverbs teaches wisdom is mainly through various examples, various scenarios, much like the imagination that we were talking about earlier. Various examples, hypothetical situations, and these various examples serve to furnish young men and young women in particular with wisdom, and kind of does so piece by piece. In other words, Proverbs isn't designed to just think, well, I want to just learn about this, and so you go and study that in the book of Proverbs, but it's given to us as a whole because all of it is supposed to work together. Of course, there's a big if there when it comes to learning from Proverbs and learning wisdom, is that you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to receive instruction, to receive correction. You have to be willing to put into practice some of the skills as you are learning them. So one way to look at these series of examples in Proverbs is to think of them like choices. And Proverbs is just full of choices. If you think about it, it's just full of choices, and usually good and bad. And it could be related to behaviors. It could be related to various actions. It could be, and a lot of them are, related to relationships, how that you relate to other people, whether that's parents or, you know, neighbors or whatever. And so what we're going to look at in this study, we're going to look at the first 9 chapters, and we're going to look at lessons for young people in particular here in chapters 1-9. And when you look at chapters 1-9 of Proverbs, if you just read through, I had a habit there for a pretty good while, and I was just reading Proverbs constantly and just reading it over and over and over and over and over again. I did it for quite a while. I probably got out of the habit and probably shows. But if you read Proverbs through, you notice that chapters 1-9 are different. There's a discernible difference between that and what starts in chapter 10 and goes through the rest. So chapter 10 and what follows has all of these little short wisdom sayings that we usually associate with Proverbs. And Proverbs 1-9 is not like that. And so Proverbs 1-9 are chapters that give these direct fatherly addresses from Solomon to you see that right there in verse 8 of chapter 1, my son. And that's repeated throughout these first 9 chapters. So these are direct addresses for my son. So it's intended, and even if you look back up in here in verse number 4, you can see that these are aimed to the young man. And now, we've talked about this before. We've looked at Proverbs, you know, a few different ways. But the fact that it's addressed to a young man doesn't exclude, you know, young women. In fact, one of the purposes of the Proverbs and these various hypothetical scenarios is that learning wisdom means being able to take that and apply it in some particular situation over here. Maybe it doesn't look exactly like what this situation is, but it is like it. And so figuring that out and figuring out how to apply it, that's a part of acquiring wisdom in Proverbs. So many of the scenarios that we encounter, they may be directed to a young man, they may be about a young woman, but they can also go the other way around. So if you think about it, we're going to come across quite a few warnings to the young man as he's addressing him about the strange or the foreign woman. And she's described as an adulteress and various things, and we'll look at all that when we get there. But the point is that it's not only a woman that, you know, can play that role, or that only a young man that's in danger of being, you know, tempted by that. It certainly works the other way around as well. So Proverbs is not trying to exclude that, but part of learning wisdom is being able to learn what we're being taught and then apply those things in the various situations that we face. So everyone in Proverbs is included. First nine chapters, again, is addressed to young man, my son, primarily, but it doesn't mean that there's plenty of things there for everybody to learn from. So when we're looking at the first nine verses here in chapter one, they function like an introduction. So on the one hand, verses 1 to 9 function like what we might call a global introduction. So they stand as an introduction for the whole book. And then Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 9 also functions like a local introduction as an introduction to this long section of chapters 1 to 9. And so that's what we're looking at, these first nine verses and this introduction, and it gives us the purpose, and it gives us the benefits, and gets us started in this study. So let's go ahead and read through here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. All right, so one of the first things that you're going to notice when you start reading here in Proverbs, right off the bat, we get verse number 1, which functions like sort of a signature almost, a title and signature, the Proverbs of Solomon, and then he's identified as the son of David, the king of Israel. This word for Proverbs is going to show up a number of times, and it means something like to be like. So it indicates some sort of a comparison. In a more figurative or maybe even homely sort of way, it refers to metaphors and similes and that sort of thing. And we've looked at some of that before concerning Proverbs. So verse 1 essentially gives us a title, gives us the author that statement. And then from verse 2 down to verse number 6 is where we get a statement of purpose for the Proverbs. And we can see several different words like wisdom and instruction, understanding, instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, subtlety, simple, knowledge, discretion, wise, hear, learning, understanding, wise counsels. There's proverb again, the interpretation of the proverb, words of the wise, and dark sayings. One of the things that's is that these are these are represent a number of different words in the original in the Hebrew, and they're not all the same. I mean, just when it's translated wisdom doesn't mean it's the same word as wisdom. And in fact, in this case, it's not. The word for wisdom in, let me see. Oh, here it is, verse 3. Word for wisdom in verse 3 is different than this word for wisdom in verse 2. And you get wisdom, instruction, understanding, knowledge, subtlety, discernment, discretion. You get a whole bunch of words, and we've looked at those before. So there's a lot of different words, and they all have sort of their own little nuance, but they're very closely related. But if you sort of sum them up, you get that wisdom that's being spoken of is, again, it's skill for living life well. And it relates to words like knowledge, discernment, the idea of planning, being able to plan, perception, just all these various different kinds of terms that are sort of collected here in wisdom. And we see a number of different ones. This is a word for skill. It can refer to practical skill. I think it's the same word that was used to describe the builders of the tabernacle, that God, they've been given wisdom, in other words, skill to be able to craft everything that God required for the building of the tabernacle. So it can refer to that. It can be maybe a little more generally what we think of as wisdom, discernment, discretion, that sort of thing. So all of these different words are used, but that's basically what they add up to. Wisdom in verse number 3 is maybe more of what we would think of as prudence, and it kind of has the idea of being self-governing. So obviously the point for a young person to learn wisdom is to be able to stand on their own, to be able to stand on their own two feet, as it were, and to be able to negotiate life, as it were, and to do so well. And that's the point of this book. That's what it's trying to do. And you see all this, you know, to know wisdom and instruction, perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So that's what this purpose of Proverbs is for, and all, the whole book as a whole, but also chapters 1 to 9 in particular. And then you notice down in verse number 6, talks about understanding a proverb and the interpretation. Proverbs are something that's not necessarily immediately obvious. They do take thought, and they do take learning. Sometimes experience helps to understand. I know as I get older, there's sometimes certain situations happen, and you know, I'm sort of struck and think, you know, that's why my dad said that. You know, that's why my mom did this, you know, thing I never understood. Now I know. That's why she did that. You know, that sort of thing. So as you go along to grow wisdom, and the words of the wise are dark sayings, again, they require interpretation. And so when you put these things together, it gives you the idea that these are sort of like riddles a little bit. There's some mystery to them, but the purpose of this book is to help you understand them. That's the purpose, to be able to know, to be able to understand, and to be able to discern. We're told in verse number 7, we've got a statement here concerning the true source of wisdom. So we're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we get a contrast here that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it gives you some ideas. We said there's always going to be choices. There's going to be a lot of comparing. And oftentimes the comparison is going to come down to foolishness or wisdom. Sometimes the examples will be this is what foolishness looks like. Sometimes it'll be this is what wisdom looks like. And obviously you can sort of take those and do the reverse image to figure out the other one as well. And that's the way that Proverbs is given to us. And so when we're thinking about the source of wisdom, we know, biblically speaking, that wisdom is from above. There is a sort of what maybe we refer to as common sense that people can acquire through life. But this is wisdom that obviously results in everlasting life and righteousness. And so this is wisdom from above. This kind of wisdom comes from the Lord. You might be able to learn common sense and some very practical things in a lot of other ways, but the only way to learn this sort of wisdom is from the Lord. So this learning is the beginning of knowledge. And then we get, like in verse number 8, we get this command here that essentially is a charge to hear. And that's one of those words, again, and this first 9 verses is just loaded with words that are going to be repeated constantly throughout the rest of Proverbs. And hear is one of those. And it means essentially to listen with understanding. It's to pay particular attention. And maybe in our day, maybe this is even more urgent for young people than it ever has been, just because distraction level is at such a enormous height today. I mean, we've got everything at our fingertips, everything's beeping and buzzing and calling out for our attention, and we've got the internet and we've got all those kind of things, and it's easy, aside from the very bad things that can come along with some of that, there's also just a danger of just wasting tons of time and not capitalizing, not acquiring wisdom, not attaining to wisdom, not even not doing things you should be doing. So the idea of giving full attention is what we get in this charge. Pay attention. And if you really need to concentrate on something, you've got to shut out the distractions. And we are today, I guess, what we think of as the great multitaskers. You've got all these things going on at the same time. But the human brain doesn't really work well multitasking. And so if you're going to really pay attention to learn and to understand something, you've got to knock out the distractions. So as you see your parents driving and maybe it's dark and maybe it's raining, they're trying to find someplace not entirely sure to go, they're trying to look to see the street, what do? They turn the radio down. And he was like, why are you turning the radio down? You're trying to read a street sign. Why are you turning the radio down? Got to get rid of those distractions. Got to knock those things out. We got to focus here. Got to be able to figure out if this is where we're trying to go. Am I pulling into the right place or not? So it's very important that we be able to eliminate the distractions, to be able to pay attention. And so that's what Solomon calls for. And again, this isn't the only time. It gets repeated again and again and again. Pay attention. Pay attention. And it's so easy to just, let things sort of go by. And then we get in here in verse number 9, we get sort of a promise, a result, sort of a reward. So if you pay attention, you do these things, you attain wisdom, is what's talked about in the earlier verses, then wisdom is going to be an ornament of grace to thy head, chains about thy neck. In other words, they're going to adorn, they're going to beautify your life in many ways. So a couple of other terms we sort of focused on, mostly of the positive, and most of what we have here is positive. But then we can go back to like verse number 4 and let's see, this verse number 4, so this word, it can be used negatively to speak of sort of trickery, but positively, it's maybe more along the line of being shrewd, and so simple is, and that, you know, that doesn't sound very flattering, but essentially, simple is just lacking. So the simple are lacking wisdom and lacking experience. And there's a difference between the simple and some of the fools that are talked about in Proverbs, because in the you have, just like with wisdom, there's some different terms that are used for fools, and they sort of vary by degrees. So a simple man or woman would be a fool, but it would sort of be the least degree of a fool, because it's just kind of an ignorance. It's just a lack of experience, a lack of instruction, a lack of training. They just don't know, and they just don't have enough sense in a sense. So that's sort of the low degree, and then it sort of progresses, and you get fools that are more obstinate. They're more, we might say, hard-headed. They refuse to hear instruction. They refuse to receive correction. They refuse to go in the way that's being told to go. And then you get all the way to the end of the hardened scorner and mocker, the one that's just deliberately going against wisdom and such. So again, giving the young man who is simple subtlety and knowledge and discretion. So again, these are addressed to the young man, and so the young man is just lacking in knowledge and experience. It doesn't mean that they're unintelligent or that they don't have capacity to learn. It just means that they haven't learned yet. It's sort of a position of ignorance that really we all start with. So then we get another negative here, and that's with the fools. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, they're not pursuing it. It's not even a goal for them. Like, you know, I read this first part of the book of Proverbs, and I think, I want that. I want that. I want wisdom. I want knowledge. I want understanding. I want discretion. I want the wisdom that this book is giving. Fools, on the other hand, they hear that and they think, I don't want that. I don't care about that. You know, I'm just happy to go my own way. And so that's sort of the negative side, and we'll get much more of those contrasts as we continue through. Again, this is just sort of introducing this section and getting us all set up and hopefully calling for our attention, that we're going to listen and heed what is being spoken. All right, so when we think about what's described here in these first 9 verses, we can see that wisdom that's being talked about here is contrary to at least 2 very popular notions that young people especially hear a lot, and it comes around in a lot of different ways. So one notion that this is contrary to, this book is given to teach wisdom, and it begins with the fear of the Lord. So wisdom is not within us. And that is a popular notion today, that we need to look within, that within we're going to find all these answers and all this sort of thing. And Solomon is telling us the opposite of that. In fact, if you're a simple young person, and we all are, we all start out as just simple young people. It's just how it is. If you're a simple young person, then Solomon is saying, don't look to your own heart, so to speak. That'd be a good phrase. Of course, we know later in Proverbs tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So one popular notion that young people receive in just a lot of different ways, whether it's through music and books and all different things, it comes at, wisdom is not within you. It's not something that you need self-discovery for. Wisdom is something that comes from God. He is the one who has all wisdom. And wisdom is only going to be acquired the way that this book is telling us it's acquired. So that's one notion. Another popular notion is that this is contrary to, wisdom doesn't come from consensus. So just as wisdom is not within me individually, wisdom is also not within a group of individuals as a collection. And that's again another idea, sort of the society, the culture, we have to have a consensus, a consult and what have you. But that's not where wisdom is to be found. Now, Proverbs tells us things like there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, and you have to obviously understand what that's being spoken of, but the source of wisdom doesn't come from a consensus. And we've lived through, and young people today, you are growing up in just your lifetimes, the consensus has changed on a lot of things. I mean, the consensus idea of human wisdom has changed drastically in ways I honestly never even anticipated, thinking that we would see some of the things that we've seen in that regard. So so those are a couple of notions that we have to recognize, that yes, we can get that around us all the time today, but Solomon is telling us something very different from that. Wisdom's not within us, and wisdom's not in the consensus. Wisdom comes from God. And this is what this book is given to teach us. Also, so the purpose of Proverbs that we've seen here, we've talked about, it is to give wisdom instruction. And I believe this word here for instruction is a word that has the idea of discipline and training. And again, all these words are very similar. They're related. They work together in a lot of ways. But Proverbs gives us wisdom instruction, which means that, again, naturally we don't have it. But also what that means is that we have to listen and we have to receive correction. So notice verse number 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. So listening to wisdom instruction and receiving wisdom correction means growing. It means gaining. It means acquiring more wisdom. And then when we think about this down in verse number 9, this ornament and the chains, wisdom is an adornment that beautifies. So what does that mean? Well, that means that wisdom is its own reward. Now, maybe you had at some point have had a parent or a teacher or someone try to motivate you that, you know, the hard work is its own reward. You know, for some reason you always learn character when it's hard and when you lose. I don't know why you don't learn it at any other time, but that's always when you learn. You know, those are when you learn. Well, the gaining of wisdom is really its own reward. And what that means is that gaining or acquiring wisdom does not mean your life will be easy. It doesn't mean that. And in fact, the complementary book of Ecclesiastes lays that out very well and still says that wisdom is better. So your life is not going to be easy because of acquiring wisdom, but it will be good. And that is the difference. The wisdom is an ornament. It adorns, it decorates, and ultimately wisdom is the way of life in the book of Proverbs. It's the way of righteousness. It's the way of salvation. So again, won't be easy. Doesn't mean that there won't be difficulties, great, great difficulties in many cases, but still yet, it is better to get wisdom than not. All right, so that's our start of our little series here to go through Proverbs 1 and 9, particularly focusing on lessons for young people as we get into the meat of the teaching starting in the next section here in chapter 1. So.